been doing a series this summer, as I've mentioned before. It all started when I read a novel, and in the novel, a character lived his whole life guided by one word. And I thought to myself, you know, what would it be like if I guided my life by one word? How would I live my life? And of course, being who I am, I went to the Bible and decided to use the Bible as that point of guidance to decide what that one word might be. Now, I didn't just read the whole Bible and start selecting words out. I was a little more guided than that. I went and looked at one particular verse, and if you've been coming this summer, you may have figured out that verse. I don't know, but the passage was that I looked at was Galatians 5:22, in which Paul lists for the Christians in Galatia what he calls the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, the aspects of the Christian life that should be readily visible to the outside world, much as fruit is visible on that apple tree in my backyard. And so this summer, I've been reflecting on Paul's list, which includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and this week's word, gentleness. Now, each week during the summer that I've been preparing for this, I tried to imagine somebody who might embody the word I was working on, and sometimes it was easy, and many names came to mind. For a couple of the words, it wasn't so easy, and I had trouble thinking of one name that really embodied that. But when I got to gentleness, only one name popped in my head. Think about it for a moment. Who would you think of when you think of gentleness? And I thought of Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. See, I'm getting nods out there, right? I mean, is there a more gentle man than Fred Rogers? Fred Rogers, who, of course, is known for the TV show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, started in 1969, ran to 2002, 33 years on public television, bringing that gentle spirit to children. How many have ever seen the show? Huh? Yeah, same. You remember, you know, he would come in to the room and he'd be singing that song, which I'm not going to sing, but I could. But he'd take off his sport coat and put on the cardigan, right? And he'd sit down and take off one shoe, take off the other shoe with a little flip and then slide on those boat shoes. And then he'd go feed the fish, right? Every week, the same way, for 33 years, he'd start the show. He invited children into his living room to share some time with him, and then he would send them off to the world of make-believe where they would deal with a story and then come back, and he would leave at the end of the show, go put everything back on and go out the door. But for that half hour and all that symbolism that he put in taking off and putting on coats and shoes was a symbol of his, this is your time for children. And he had a gentle spirit about him, didn't he? He treated all these people on the show, whether it be grown-ups or children, just calmly, quietly. You know, I always wondered if Fred Rogers was the same in person as he was in real life. In my town growing up, Chicago, suburb of Chicago, we had a TV show produced locally called Bozo Circus. And the guy who was the ringmaster of Bozo Circus lived a few blocks from me, right next to one of my buddies. I, you know, can't tell you about Mr. Ned, but I can tell you he would yell at kids if they walked across his lawn. Don't walk on the lawn. So the question was, is Fred Rogers like that, or does he yell at kids when he crosses the lawn? One has to wonder, doesn't it? Well, Amy Hollingsworth, who was a reporter for a Christian TV station, had that same sort of anxiety when she managed to get an interview with Fred Rogers. Fred Rogers didn't Grant many interviews, but he managed to get an interview. And her biggest fear was he wasn't going to be like he was. What she found out, he was every bit in person the person he was on the screen. In fact, she talks about how when she was there, there was a boy in a wheelchair who was there because of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That boy was there because that was his wish, to visit Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And so before the show started, Fred came out and took the boy on a tour of the set, and then he sat down with him and started a conversation 5 minutes before the show started. And he talks with the boy, and that 5 minutes turned into 10. And the reporter could see that the crew was getting just a little bit nervous. It was time to get started, and then they weren't getting started. 10 minutes turned into 15, and the nervousness and anxiety level this reporter could feel. But still, he kept talking with the boy. Finally, at about 25 minutes, the stage manager went over there and said, "You know, Fred, we really need to get started." He said, "Okay, we will." And he talked for another 5 minutes with that boy before excusing himself and saying he had to do the show. The reporter said that the mother just wept when they left there. He was every bit the person. But even that raises the question, was he like that at home? Tim Madigan, who wrote about his encounter with and relationship with Fred Rogers, another reporter, tells about how he had a chance to interview Fred, and Fred took him to church with him. Fred was a Presbyterian pastor, and he worshiped at a Presbyterian church, but he didn't actually serve that church, so he was sitting in the pews with Tim Madigan, and on that particular Sunday, his wife and their two grandsons. So they were right in the second row, like you guys. And they had in that church a joys and concerns time, and after a couple of what would be called the more routine joys and concerns, a woman got up and started a rant. It was shortly after the start of the Gulf War, and she went off on war, on the president, on the military industrial complex. 1 minute, 2 minutes, she went for 5 minutes at least. And Tim said, you know, everybody was looking around, looking at her, trying not to look at her. They didn't know what to do. This was going on much longer than it ever had. The pastor up there was squirming up there, but it didn't stop her. She went in. Everybody was squirming, Tim said, except for Fred, who, when the woman finally sat down, he leaned over to Tim and said, "That woman must have had someone who was badly hurt by an experience in war." And right after the service, Tim wrote, he beelined it to that woman, took her to the side, held her hands, and talked with her for 5 minutes. Tim says, "I don't know what they talked about, but he was there, encountering her and sharing her pain." So what you saw with Fred Rogers, those of us who watch TV, you got in person, and that was Fred. And so when I thought of the word gentleness, Fred came to mind. Fred saw children as the object of his ministry, and he talked about how the space between the television screen and the person watching it, think of that space, television screen and the person watching it, was holy ground. And he prayed before every taping, he said, prayed and said, "May the Holy Spirit take something I say, take one of my words and make them useful to someone who's on the other side of that holy ground." And quite often it did. And that was his nature. And what I thought of is gentleness, this sort of thing. The biblical roots of gentleness. Gentleness is not one of the more common words of the Bible in this list of Paul's. Peace, joy, love, those words show up a lot in the Bible. Gentleness does not. But where it does show up, its Greek root its Greek root is to tame. And in fact, in the Greek language, the writings, they would speak of gentling a horse. Any of you horse people, does that term make sense? Gentling a horse. I'm not a horse person, so I wouldn't know. But they would write about gentling a horse, meaning that it was now tame enough to be useful. And that's what gentleness is, taming ourselves to be useful. And how are we useful if we are to be gentle? And I think Fred Rogers gives us an example of encountering people where they were. Someone once asked Fred, who is a neighbor to you? And Fred said, the person I'm with, especially if they're in need. And that's a good definition of that sense of encounter that gentleness requires. Gentleness invites us to be with and encounter with someone else, our neighbor. Sort of thing. It's a little different than meekness, which appears in the Bible, another powerful biblical word, in that meekness tends to be used more in terms of a relationship with God. But gentleness is used in terms of relationship with others. One encounters someone else and says, where are you? And I want to be there with you. Gentleness is often, in this day and age, mistaken for weakness. It's not in many ways, gentleness is not in real good form anymore. When the documentary came out last summer about Fred Rogers, one pundit on television got all riled up about Fred Rogers and claimed that he ruined a generation of American males by making them weak. And yet one didn't understand what Fred was talking about in strength. One didn't understand Fred's strength as well. He had a tremendous amount of inner strength. He swam, got up at 5 o'clock every morning to swim. Swam a mile to a mile and a half every morning. Weighed himself on the scale when he got off. Got done swimming and weighed 143 pounds for all his adult life. Okay. I think it took great strength just to keep getting on the scale each morning. But Fred Rogers had a great, and that inner strength also conveyed into his relationship. I Googled Fred Rogers and gentleness to see if there were some articles about him. I got some really interesting titles. The Fierce Gentleness of Fred Rogers. Gentleness and Power, the Fred Rogers Story. So the understanding that here was actually a man stronger than what he appeared. Perhaps that strength was most greatly demonstrated when in 1969, I think, the federal government was looking at removing public funding for public television and applying it to the Vietnam War. And Fred Rogers, who was new, he was not recognized household name like he was now. He was brand new in the field at the time. Went to Congress to testify, and it was his testimony that turned the mind of the Senate, particularly the senator in charge of the committee, who ended it and said, "You have greatly impressed me, and it looks like you have your funding." He could speak the truth in love, as often said, and yet in such a gentle way. You know, the idea of gentleness and strength comes out of the word as well, as if you tame a horse. Think of the strength of a horse. Doesn't mean that horse's strength is gone, but now it can be used. In the passage that Becky read from 1 Thessalonians, Paul uses the word gentleness in relationship. We were gentle among you like a nurse with her children. Think of the strength and gentleness required to be a nurse. We have several here. But the physical strength to lift and move bodies and the emotional strength to deal with really the pain and suffering and often death that happens in hospitals. Nurses are among the strongest people I know. And yet, nurses also have that gentleness that can, one, comfort a patient, that gentleness, and they have to put a needle in you as gently as possible. What a great imagery Paul uses. In the gospel lesson that Becky read, we have Jesus, whose strength cannot be doubted, and yet in this encounter that he has with the woman caught in adultery, a quiet gentleness as he waits them out, all these women's accusers, he waits them out, and then finally says to her, "Where have they all gone? Go and sin no more." The message of gentleness, if we should choose to live our life by gentleness, one does so from strength. You know, when I was younger and had my kids were young, hold hands, a lot of times I'd just hold my finger. And sometimes they would squeeze my finger as hard as they could. Maybe they're trying to hurt me, you know. But of course, they couldn't really hurt me. Their hands were not strong enough. They lacked the power. On the other hand, if I had grabbed their hand and squeezed, I could have broken it, right? But see, it is the strong who need to learn to be gentle. It is the strong that need to learn to be gentle. And so Paul reminds us the fruit of gentleness comes out of our strength. Our strength in our relationship with Christ, our strength, that inner strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. And then as we encounter the world, our neighbors, our friends, and even our enemies, that strength can be conveyed much better in gentleness than in power. Amen.